Our text verse this morning is that middle verse that we read, Philippians 4:19, where the Bible says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Paul had just written in verse 18 about the gift that the Philippians had sent him and said, "Hey, I have everything I need. In fact, I have more than I need. I abound." But he says, "I want you to know that God shall supply all your need, and not by the riches that we look at on this earth, but by the riches that God has in Christ Jesus." We sing a little chorus sometimes. "Christ is all I need." It goes like this. "Christ is all I need. Christ is all I need. All I need. Christ is all I need. Christ is all I need. All I need." Now he is. He is all that we need. And so I ask you this morning, what's your need? What need do you have in your life? If you have a spiritual need this morning, if you need to get right with your Creator God, if your sin separates from you from your God, Christ is all you need. If you have a heartache, a sorrow this morning, Christ is all that you need as well. If you have a relationship problem this morning, either with your children or with your spouse or some other member of your family, I'll say to you this morning that Christ has the answer. He's all you need in that relationship problem. Jesus, or the Apostle Paul wrote there, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." I want to tell you this morning, I want to personally testify this morning, Christ is all that I need. I want you at the end of the service to be able to walk out of here with that same testimony, with the assurance and the knowledge that Christ is all that you need. I have a simple message this morning. Three simple points. Christ is all I need, number one, because he paid for all my yesterdays. Jesus Christ paid for all my yesterdays. I have a confession to make. I'm not perfect. Who said that? When the Bible says in Romans 3:10, "There's none righteous, no, not one," that verse is talking about me. When it says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned, come short of the glory of God," it's talking about me. And I know some of you find this hard to believe, but your preacher is a sinner. I am a sinner. You may not know this, but I have a temper. Now, it's under a lot better control today than when I was younger. But, man, when I was younger, I'd get mad. We were playing baseball. Somebody do something that got me upset, I'd take the baseball and go home. Game wasn't over. I'd take the baseball and go home. I'd get so mad. My brother and I slept upstairs in the attic that my dad had finished, and there were eaves, and there were little doors to get underneath the eaves. I'd get so mad, I'd lock myself underneath the eave. Only had handles on the outside. I couldn't get out until somebody come and let me out. And it got so hot up there in the summer, I'd just sit up there and sweat and sweat and sweat. I didn't care. I was so mad. Now, I still have a temper. Let somebody at McDonald's say, "Please pull up." I said, "This is a fast food place. Come on, what's the matter?" And then some people just do not know how to drive. And my temper comes out. I have a temper. I have to be honest with you, and I'm glad most of the kids are gone. When I was a kid, I didn't always obey my parents. That's all I'm going to say. I haven't always done what I know to be right. And I could go on, and the list could go on, and we don't have time. But one day, as a sinner, I figuratively stood before the God who shall judge the whole world, and I heard him pronounce sentence on me. He said, "Darryl Manning, the charge against you is that you're a vile, wicked sinner. How do you plead?" And as many people do, I tried to plead my own righteousness. I said, "God, yes, I've sinned, a little, but I've never killed anybody. Of course, I forgot that part. If you hate your brother, you might as well just go ahead and kill him. I've never stolen anything. I've never committed adultery. I've never committed any of the cardinal sins. But God brought to my mind the verse in James chapter 2, verse 10, where the Bible says, "For whosoever shall keep the law in one point, or whosoever shall break the law in one point, For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." And I was reminded, as somebody who did not honor their parents, I was reminded as somebody that cannot control their temper, I was reminded that in God's sight, I was just as guilty as the murderer, as the thief, as the adulterer. As I stood before God and heard his question, "How do you plead?" I was reminded of that verse in Isaiah where Isaiah wrote, "All my righteousnesses," plural, "in God's sight, are as filthy rags." And so the question came back again. "You're a vile, wicked sinner. How do you plead to that charge?" "Guilty. I'm guilty. I'm just," I say like the Apostle Paul, "Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." And then one day I heard the righteous judge say to me in judgment of my sin, said, "The penalty of your sin is separation from me. The penalty for your sin is to be separated from the one that made you. The penalty of your sin is to be separated from God." That's the penalty of sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, not physical death as we've experienced this the past few weeks as we celebrated the life of Laurel and Marilyn yesterday. That's not the penalty of sin. The penalty of sin is spiritual death. It's being separated from the one that made us. It's being separated from our God. You see, God is a holy, righteous God. And when we sin, our sin breaks the relationship that God wants to have with us. He can't, because of his holiness, because of his righteousness, he cannot fellowship with, he cannot be in the company of sin. That's why when Jesus hung on the cross, we pictured it in the Lord's Supper this morning. When Jesus hung on the cross and God laid all of our sin upon his Son, God the Father had to turn his back on Jesus Christ because of that sin. He paid the price. And so I stood before the judge one day. I heard him say, "You're a vile, wicked sinner. How do you plead?" I had to plead guilty, and he passed sentence on me. And he says, "Your sentence is to be separated from me." And I fell to my knees, and I begged for mercy. And I said, "Dear God, anything but that. Anything but to be separated from you." Because you see, every single one of us, every single one of us was created, was made with a part of our being that can only be satisfied with a relationship with God. I mean, the world will try to fill it up with other things, but there's part of you. And you might be here this morning and you've never thought about this before and you don't have a relationship with Christ and there's some part of you that's empty and you've tried to fill it up with the things of the world and nothing seems to satisfy. And the reason the world can't satisfy that spot, that longing, that desire that we have in our being is because that desire can only be filled when we have a relationship with the one that created us. When we have a relationship with the one that can bring order out of chaos. When we have a relationship with the only one that can give us our purpose for living, you will not find purpose for living in this world. You won't find it in the things of the world. You will only find it in God. And so when God said, "Hey, you're a vile, wicked sinner, and the penalty for that sin is to be separated from me," I fell to my knees and I pleaded for mercy from the righteous judge who in righteousness has the right to pronounce that sentence. But when we realize that we're going to be separated from our God, we need to fall to our knees and beg for mercy. And when and God says, "Listen, I've already taken care of it. You can't pay for your sin. There's nothing that you can do to pay for your sin. It's not of works that, lest any man should boast, Paul writes in the book of Ephesians. God said, I'll pay for it. I'll pay for it. And he paid for it with his son. Again, we pictured it in the Lord's Supper this morning. His body was broken. His blood was shed. Jesus went to Calvary's cross. And on Calvary's cross, God laid upon him all of my sin. My sin, not in part, but in whole. He bore it. He paid for it. He extended to me mercy. What I deserved was to die and go to hell. What I deserved was to be separated from God forever. But he gave me mercy. He did not give me what I deserved. He gave me grace. Gave me something I didn't deserve. He said, hey, if you'll believe and then receive what Jesus did for you on Calvary, I'll forgive all your sins. I'll wipe them off your record. I'll make it just as if you've never, ever sinned. I'll make you right with me. And one day as a teenage boy, I got down on my knees beside my pastor and I asked Jesus to be my Savior. And from that moment on, I became a child of God. A child of the King. Joint heir with Jesus Christ. All my sins were wiped off my record. I was dressed in the righteousness of Christ. I stand before God this morning. I know I'm a sinner. You know I'm a sinner. But I stand before God just as if I'd never sinned because of what Jesus Christ did for me on Calvary. He's all that I need. I don't need anything else. He took care of all my yesterdays. If you're here today and you've never received Christ as your Savior, he'll take care of all yours. Say, preacher, you don't even know me. You don't know what kind of sinner you are. I don't need to know what kind of sinner you are. I know what kind of Savior we've got. And we have a Savior that can wipe away every sin. The only unpardonable sin that the Bible talks about is saying no, 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 over and over to Jesus Christ to save you. That's the only sin that he won't forgive. Every other sin, no matter how wicked it is, no matter how vile it is, the blood will cover it. The blood will wash it away. God will wipe it from your record and put on your record the righteousness of Christ if you come to him. He's all I need because he takes care of all my yesterdays. Number two, he's all I need because he gives me strength for today. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2, for the Lord, even the Lord, is my strength. Psalm 18:32, it is the Lord who girdeth me with strength. Psalm 29:11, the Lord will give strength unto his people. Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength. Psalm 81:1, sing aloud unto God, our strength. Our text verse this morning, Philippians 4:19. I can do all, not our text verse, but a verse in that same chapter, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Again, he's our strength. He's all I need because he gives me strength for today. Now listen, you're here this morning. You're alive this morning for one of two reasons. Either you're here to get saved. If you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as your Savior, that's why you're here. You're not here by accident. You're not here by coincidence. You're here to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, that God loves you in spite of your sin. He sent Jesus to die for you. And if you'll receive and believe on him, he will wash away your sins and make you right with him. So if you're here this morning and you're not saved, that's why you're here. Now, if you're here this morning and you're saved, you're here for the second reason, and that's to serve him. If you're saved this morning, he wants you to serve him. How do we serve him? We humble ourselves and we uplift the Savior. And everything that we do, we put ourselves down, we humble ourselves, and we uplift our Lord. We uplift Jesus Christ. He said in John chapter 3, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you're saved this morning, if I'm saved this morning, what we're supposed to do is be a lifter up. We don't lift up ourselves. We don't lift up the church. We uplift the founder of this church. We uplift the sustainer of this church. We uplift the one who this church belongs to. We uplift the Lord Jesus Christ. And he made a promise that if we lift him up, If we lift him up, he'll draw all men unto him. You want to know why people keep coming to our church, even though that nobody invites them? And I'm so glad we have people here this morning that their families invited. That's what we're supposed to do. But you want to know why God keeps sending people, even though nobody invites them? Because we keep lifting up Christ. And he keeps keeping his promise. If I be lifted up, if you put me in the center of all things, if you give me the glory, I'll bring them in. I'll bring them to myself. And we need to be lifter up. That's why we're here. You're either here to get saved or you're here to serve. Many of you are like me this morning. We have more to do than we have energy to expend. I look at the list of things I have that I should be getting done. I look at my battery that tells how much energy I have. And so I see my list and it gets shorter and shorter and shorter, but my battery goes like this. When I left here yesterday, I was just wore out. I was tired. I still had a lot to do last night when I got home. But you know what? I didn't have to do it in my own strength. I didn't have to do it in my own power. I didn't have to do it with my own resources. I don't have to labor in my own strength. That verse in the book of Isaiah, it's on my tie this morning. I wore this tie because I knew what I was preaching this morning. But they that wait upon the Lord, and it doesn't mean that we sit down and wait. That's not what that word wait means. It means I wait on the Lord. I serve other people. I find something that somebody needs, and I serve them. Though, and you say, well, it says wait on the Lord, but Jesus said in that you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. And so I find somebody that's hurting, and in Jesus' name, for Jesus' sake, I wait on them. And the Bible says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew. Where's my verse? Well, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Look, I don't have to worry about how much my battery has power in it. I don't have to worry about how much energy I have. I don't serve the Lord with my own power. I don't serve the Lord with my own energy. I serve him with the power and the strength that he gives me. And I can walk and not faint. And I can run and not get tired. And I can fly with the eagles. And I won't illustrate that this morning. But I can fly with the eagles. Not because of who I am, but because of who Jesus is. He's all I need. Because he paid for all my yesterdays. He's all I need because he gives me strength for the day. And then number three, quickly, he's all I need because he gives me hope for tomorrow. In Psalm 39, verse 7, and now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. I'm so glad our hope is not in things of this world. I'm so glad that my hope is not tied up in the amount of money that I have or in the possessions I have or in the stocks that I own. If you own stocks, you need to get you some Maalox. They go up, down, up, down. How can you put any hope in those? You can't. I'm not putting my hope in the things of this world. They're all going to pass away. 100 years from now, it probably won't even take 100 years. 50 years from now, the things of this world, they'll be gone. And if I am building my hope for tomorrow on things of this world, I am building them on a shaky foundation. That foundation will pass away. My hope this morning is in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Titus chapter 3, the Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And that's not a hope-so hope, but a no-so hope. I know I'm going to heaven. My hope for tomorrow is not built on me. It's not built on the things of the world. It's built on the Lord Jesus Christ. We sing that song. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. What's your hope in this morning? What are you basing your tomorrows on? Where do you get your strength for today? Huh? And what about your yesterdays? Are you still trying to pay for all of those yourself? Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need. All of them. All of them. Look, I don't care what your need is here this morning. If we had time, we'd say, call them out. And I would say in response to everyone, Jesus can meet that need. He can meet that need. But only if you'll let him. Only if you'll let him. He'll only be your Savior if you'll let him and ask him to be. He'll only be your strength if you'll claim it. He'll only be your hope if that's what you build your, if you, that's what you decide to build your life on. He doesn't force himself on us. It's up to us. He'll supply all our need according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Will you let him do that this morning? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for being a God that supplies all we need. We talked about it in Sunday school. You're our provider. Every need that we have, Jesus will meet. Father, I pray for those that are here this morning that have needs. You know what they are. Especially, Father, for those that have a spiritual need. Especially for those that don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Help them to see that they are a sinner. They're under the condemnation of sin, the penalty, the punishment of sin, to be separated from the one that made them, to be separated from the one that, the only one that could give them a purpose for living, the only one that can make them fit for heaven. I pray they come to Christ this morning. I pray they'd let him pay for all their yesterdays. Then, Father, I pray for the many Christians that are here. Help us not to labor in our own strength, but to labor in yours. And help us not to base our hope on anything else but that solid rock of Jesus Christ. I pray you bless the invitation. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. Whatever we need to do, help us to do it. Help us to do it. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.